to Romans chapter 8. We're going to look at finished work truth. We're also going to look at application and our part in receiving and believing it, and the results. If we get that far, we'll maybe look at the last 10 verses, the first 10 verses, in a kind of a cursory examination without digging deep into it, but to get the impact. Because I see many of God's children living in less than the victory that Jesus bought for us to enjoy. And it's because of a lack of understanding, a lack of faith, really, a lack of information in some cases, but a lack of really grasping these truths, believing these things, and applying them in our lives, and then enjoying the results. They are true, and we're going to look at what some of the theologians call positional truth. They are true, whether we believe them or not, whether we know them or not, they are true. They are eternally true. But if we do, if we know them, and if we believe them, they are life changers. And it's the means by which we really enjoy the life of Christ. Now, everyone that's born of the Spirit of God has the life of Christ. We received it the moment we believed, but have we always enjoyed the life of Christ? And many are not now. And I know that being here on a Wednesday night, that probably puts you maybe in a category that maybe you're more likely, but not all necessarily. And then the real test comes when the trials come, when the real, when there's personal failure. Maybe we get blindsided. We don't see the trap that the enemy lays for us. And we walk right into it, and we get taken down in it. But God is faithful for us to recover. But for us to recover quickly and fully, that is the key. And knowing these things can help us. And or when it's undeserved suffering, as Job encountered. He didn't see it coming either. He's just walking with God. He is the choicest believer in his generation. God is bragging about him to the devil, and God is actually sets him up for his probably the biggest test of his life. And it was a prolonged test, and it came in waves, you know. And there probably none of us will suffer on that level that Job has, but maybe you've been through the biggest trial of your life already. I hope I have. You know, walking with God for over 40 years, there's a good chance my worst trial is behind me. But I don't know that. It could start tonight or tomorrow. But am I ready? That's the question. And even if our worst trial is behind us, there's still battles to be fought and won. And for us to be ready for that and not faint in the midst of the fight. We faint in the day of adversity, our strength is small, but God is willing for us to be strong. Romans chapter 8. Now, again, the context here, Romans 7, he's documented what's been called the human dilemma as a Christian, going into just how weak he is in his natural man, just how no matter how much he wants to do the will of God, he just fails all the time, and no matter how much he doesn't want to live in his lust patterns, he does it over and over again. And he concludes, "Oh, who will deliver me from this body of death? Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" And then he makes the statement to close out chapter 7. He says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." And that's who will deliver us from this body. The truth of the matter is, these are bodies of death. I look like I'm in reasonably good health for a man my age, and as far as I know I am. If I drop dead before the end of the night, well, we guess we'll know I'm wrong. But somebody get up here and finish the message if that happens, all right? So these are bodies of death. They're not made to last forever. Most of us are getting we're getting a read on this. You know, I'm looking at Josh as maybe one of the youngest ones in the room. He's like, they keep telling you this, but you know, I'm still young and whatever. But you'll get it. Don't worry, Josh. You'll catch up. But these bodies of death, but to live out this earthly life in victory. He gives us what we need here in Romans chapter 8. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm going to pause there because the second part of the verse is some controversy as to whether it was there in the original because it's missing from some manuscripts. Whether it was added later, we'll know when we get to heaven. But this first phrase is an absolute truth. And this is true for every single child of God, including the one that gets saved on their deathbed, that wasted their whole entire life, and then in their last moments on earth, trusts Christ as their Savior, becomes a child of God. There's no condemnation. They're going to enjoy the same heaven we all enjoy, whether it's the Apostle Paul or the Billy Graham or the thief on the cross or anything else in between. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Every single one that believes into the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no condemnation from, and the understanding here is from God, from who it really matters. Will you and I will receive condemnation from ourselves? Oh, yeah, we condemn ourselves. We do that. That's not what it's talking about here. Other people, Jesus was judged, if you will, and he's perfect. Those things, and people take that, unfortunately, they let that rattle them when other people come against them. And sometimes they're actually energized by the demons themselves. Sometimes it's just people's own old sin nature that's judging other people with their sin nature, whether they've been saved or not. But what he's saying is, as far as what really matters, before the judge of all the earth, everyone that's in Christ, there is no condemnation. And for us to believe that and receive that and say, what can we say to that? Only, thank you, Lord. Thank you. It doesn't say to those who, live a perfect life of which there's no one. It just says there is no condemnation. Does that mean that there's been no failure? No. Obviously, every single one has failed to some degree or another. Every single one, has an old sin nature that's thoroughly depraved that could not, has to die with the body of death. The old sin nature goes with it. That's the positive thing about it. We think of death as a negative thing. And from our viewpoint, we usually see it that way. But there's definitely some positive things about it. And one of them is the old sin nature goes down too. And we live on forever. And we'll receive a resurrection body that lasts forever. The second phrase here says, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, if we walk in the flesh, all of us have done some of it. If we walk in the flesh, we probably will end up condemning ourselves. Others, unbelievers especially, that know we're believers, if they catch us walking in the flesh, they'll condemn us. But it's not before God. The Father doesn't condemn us, even when we walk in the flesh. The truth of the matter is, the blood covers us from eternity past, from the moment we get saved, and on into eternity future. So it's absolutely impossible for the Father to condemn one of his children, even when they walk in the flesh. Now, he will chastise. He has promised he will chastise every son whom he receives. So for a child of God, we cannot ever be condemned by our Father. We absolutely will be chastised, and every one of us to some degree or another. And you don't have to raise your hand, but if anybody wants to confess they've been chastised by their Heavenly Father, feel free to raise your hand just to say amen to that. Yes, I've been chastised. Hallelujah. And thank you. You know what? We know that we're growing when we get to the point where when chastisement comes, we are just immediately thankful. We're just like, thank you, Lord. I know you love me. That's chastisement. I know it is. I know why it's there. And thank you, Lord, for loving me and chastising me. And I'm going to quickly let it yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness. I'm not going to wiggle and squirm and sulk and whatever. I'm just going to say, thank you, Lord. You've chastised me. You are my Father. And I want to learn exactly what you want me to learn in this chastisement. Verse 2, he says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Again, this is positional truth. This is finished work truth. And for us to believe it helps us to enjoy it. If we're in Christ, there is a law working within us, whether we recognize it or not. If we recognize it, it helps us to enjoy it. But this law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the law is that if we've believed into Christ, we are going to be like him and with him forever, period. That's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The law of sin and death, we've all tasted that up until the moment we got saved. And there can be a little bit of an aftertaste in our mouth if we go and walk in the flesh, a little bit of an aftertaste. But the law of sin and death, that's been reigning since Adam and Eve fell. The soul that sins, it will die. But we died with Christ. When we believe that, that helps us put our old sin nature where it belongs, in the grave with Christ. He's declared that's where it is, and then he's left us the responsibility of keeping it there. Reckon ourselves dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God, in Romans 6:11. And understanding and believing these things helps us to put them in perspective rather than let the old sin nature take advantage of us, deceive us. See, our old sin nature, this is the enemy every one of us has that's within. Now, it's dead and buried with Christ, but it's not gone until we drop this body of death. And our old sin nature is at enmity with the Father. Our old sin nature is in collusion with the devil and the world system that he runs. And that's why we need to keep it dead and buried. It's the only enemy that we have 24/7. See, the world system, when you turn off the light and you go to sleep at night, you know, you're not subject to the world for at least those 8 hours that you're asleep in your bed or whatever, however many hours you get. You wake up in the morning and, you know, as long as you don't turn the TV on right away, you have your breakfast. The world's not, you know, crashing, you know, in on your life until you go out your door. Then hello, world system. And you better be ready for it. And if you're ready for it, then you can face life every day like this is an adventure. I'm going to go find some treasure today. I'm going to go sow the seed today. Who knows? Maybe I can lead someone to Christ today. And so we can go out into that big, bad world and not be scared little, you know, whatever. We can go out like, all right, we're on a treasure hunt, and maybe we'll find some today. But we know our Father is looking out for us, and their angels have been given charge over us, so we don't have to live in fear. But we're in enemy territory. We go out the door, the world system is run by the devil. And then on occasion, we may actually... whether we are aware of it or not, we may actually encounter demonic... We will. Sooner or later, we're going to encounter some demonic activity. We may not discern it immediately, and it may come through people. And whether or not they're demon-possessed, some of them, occasionally, there may be some that are actually demon-possessed. Most of them are locked up here in the Western world or in jail or in an insane asylum, but not all of them. There's still a few of them still... running around out there. Don't be afraid of that. And actually, I would rather deal with somebody demon-possessed than someone that's just demonized in their, you know, willingly going along with the devil's plan. Because if somebody's actually demon-possessed, we can just take authority over it. On the other hand, if someone is just in collusion and what we would say demonized, being run by demons, although not possessed by demons, their free will is involved, and you know they're a free will agent. Still, God can give us wisdom to neutralize their effect with our prayers and our speech. Oftentimes, a wise answer will shut them down. But that's the world we live in. We're down in enemy territory, but we're here to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. One of the keys is, and I don't have time to get into that tonight, is to live in, by faith and not in fear. I've often said that faith mobilizes, but fear paralyzes. And, you know, all through our life, I've seen this over and over again. People, if fear grips people, they are just paralyzed, helpless, in a situation that if there wasn't fear involved, they could handle it easily. But the moment fear takes over, they can't do a thing because they're a victim of fear. And, you know, I've tried to make it a point to just, like, not give in to that. And sometimes our, you know, if you panic, like you get behind the wheel and you get in a situation that you panic and you freeze, you know, you could have a crash that if you don't panic, you could drive your way out of. So it's very important to learn to not give in to panic. And when it comes to, like, you know, get some good defensive driving courses and maybe even some training. I'd love to go for the police training for driving. Wouldn't that be fun? But anyways, I don't have time for that. Unless God's willing, then I'll find time. But the idea is, and actually maybe I don't need it because I've been in several of those situations where everybody in the car is like freaking out, and I just drive my, hallelujah, just drive my way out of it. And sometimes it's been miracles too. I think there must have been angels here managing this. And so thank you, Lord. But to not live in fear, because we live in the law of the Spirit of life. And then, for what the law could not do, and that was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. We could go on here. There's a lot more, but I want to move to the end of the chapter so we can focus on the results, because if we believe and receive these things, then we can really enjoy the result of this truth in our life. So let's skip to the end of the chapter and pick a couple of verses here. Verse 31, he says, "What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Now, sometimes, unfortunately, we're our own worst enemies. We are against ourselves. And we just need to say, "Thank you, Lord, for loving me, paying for my sins, forgiving me," and not continue to kick ourselves. And I was counseling someone dear to me recently in my family that had us, like, if I told the circumstances, you'd say, "Is that all?" But, you know, in their life, it was big. There was some failure, minimal. We wouldn't even consider. But in their mind, like, it just took the wind right out of their sails. And just had to lovingly coach and encourage, you know, to, you know, let that go. To let it go, it's over, it's done with, it's not a big deal, and the truth of the matter, and then just remind them of truths that stand so they could begin to fellowship in truth and not in some minor failure or weakness or anything like that, but fellowship in the truth, in our calling. And focus on that, we begin to enjoy the victory that's ours. If God is for us, who can be against us? It doesn't matter. The devil himself can't stand against us. Our Heavenly Father is for us. You know, we may be against ourselves. He will overrule that too. And how much fight do we want to give him? Let's get out of the way and let him take us on in his plan to change us and make us into the image of Christ. He goes into, "He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Now, this isn't just, this is not speaking of material things. They're like, they could be included. If we need them, they could be included. It's talking about the real riches here, the things that we really need now and forever, how he shall freely give us all things. He's the one that's doing the work in us. He's the one that saves us. He's the one that delivers us. He's the one that changes us. You know, we could try to go on some, you know, exotic self-help program to make ourselves better, this, that. You know, but and if we succeeded, who would get the glory? First of all, and that's just behavior modification. But when God changes us, and he will, and he's promised to change us, that is forever. And he gets the glory. And we get to just enjoy, he's changed me. I'm not the same person. It's the Spirit of God that's done this. And what does it leave us? Just thankful. Thank you, Lord. Then he goes into some things that hopefully we'll not experience. We will experience tribulation in verse 35. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? He goes into all the things that would threaten to but cannot. Would threaten to, but they cannot separate us from the love of Christ. We're all going to have some tribulation, some distress, some persecution. We may not ever have famine. It's possible, especially here in the Western world. Or we might. The day may come. But famine can't do it. Nakedness, peril, sore. There's some of these are probably not likely in our future. But if they are, they still can't separate us from the love of Christ. We pray for our brothers and sisters that actually are facing martyrdom. And they face it with such courage. In fact, maybe not all. Maybe some of them whimper and whatever. But even if they do, they'll still they're destined for glory. But I hear stories of even children being, you know, as they're ready to be executed, and the children just looking in the face of those that would execute them. Most of this has to do with radical Muslims executing Christians. But if that happens, they're in fellowship with their Savior. It says, yet in all these things, verse 37, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We are more than conquerors because we're smart, because we're brave, because we're whatever. No, we're more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. And he can make us brave. He will, if we'll let he wants to. But he loves us even when we're not. But we're more than conquerors through him that loves us. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things to present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So what's really the threat here? None of these things, the distresses, the sword, even martyrdom, those, it's our own mind, really. Are we willing to believe the truth? That and it was displayed with Christ hanging on the cross, saying, it is finished, paid in full, paid in full. It's the Father giving us his Son. That's the testimony. We are loved. And in our case, before we're ever born, our sin is around, our sin, it figures so large in our life if we let it. But the moment we focus on Jesus Christ and what he has done, our sin loses all of its power, all of its authority, and its allurement as well. Because when we're focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, the temptations of the lust patterns and the sin, they begin, things that once we thought we needed, that we wanted, all of a sudden, they look disgusting because of the glory, the beauty of holiness and the glory of the Lord. We need to keep our focus on him and what he has done. And when we do, we'll walk in victory. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would help us to own this, Lord, in these few minutes that we've taken to look at these promises, these truths. I ask that you would help us to lay hold of them, Lord, and never let them go. Father, and that we would, for your name's sake, Lord Jesus, and for your glory, for your kingdom, walk in the light of these things, enjoy the fruit of it, and display the wisdom of it in our lives. Father, we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, thanks for being good listeners. For those that want to take a little time and talk about these things some more, questions, comments, in about 10 minutes, we'll do that. We'll gather back in here. In the meantime, you're welcome to a cup of coffee, whatever other refreshments are there in the kitchen. And just want to say thanks for coming out on a Wednesday night. So.